Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 19. Hey, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 19. Today, we are joined by Jody Flynn, founder of Luma Coaching and host of Women Taking the Lead podcast. Jody Flynn founded Luma Coaching in 2010 after a successful career in mutual fund operations as the Assistant Vice President of Corporate Quality. Jody's specialty is partnering with business leaders who experience self-doubt and overwhelm and help them overcome stress, get organized, and start creating the business and lifestyle they dream of having. Her podcast, Women Taking the Lead, inspires women from humble beginnings to overcome self-doubt and lead with confidence, integrity, and a sense of humor.
Good morning, Jody. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you for asking me. I was very flattered.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I've checked out the show. I love the episodes. I happen to see that you had Kate on there.
Yeah.
And as you know, Entrepreneur on Fire is one of my favorite shows. John Dumas and Kate are a big inspiration over here with the techie community. So definitely, I had to have you on. So welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So, tell us a story of how it is you once saw the future before you began branding yourself and building out your business.
It's really funny because I went into business so blissfully ignorant, really. Really, I mean, I was working in corporate, but I didn't know what it was to be self-employed. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, events in my life caused me to realize, like, all arrows were pointing this way, right? When just so many things are happening,
right,
and you realize this is the way to go, I'm just going that way. And I was so excited about it, I didn't stop myself. So what was happening was I was very successful in my corporate career, had been promoted really rapidly up the ladder.
Right.
I was the assistant vice president of corporate quality for a mutual fund company, and looking at the lifestyles of the VPs in the company and not being really excited about what I was seeing there. You know, they were calling in from their family vacations at Disney to be on a conference call, and, you know,
right,
just like the always having to have their phones on them, and they really were tethered to the business. And, you know, I do like my freedom. So I wasn't
right
excited about that. And I felt like I had gotten to a level in my current position where it just felt very easy. Like I'd mastered it, and I was starting to get a little bored. And
right,
the thought of, is this it? Right? Is it, you know, what's my life going to be for the next 10, 15, 20 years? Like,
right,
could I be doing this, but on a bigger scale somewhere mm-hmm else? And what does that look like? And around that time, I started discovering coaching. And I started meeting coaches. And I have a background in psychology, but decided to pivot because where that was leading me, I wasn't excited about. It was going to look like more like a social work career. And
yep,
that's not how I wanted to interact with people. I wanted to interact
right
with people like who wanted to be their best and were really going for it. And when I discovered coaching, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what wasn't around or I wasn't aware of when I graduated with my degree. And so, you know, when there were some changes within the company, like our company was acquired, and then, I stayed with the company who bought us out. And then almost immediately after that whole conversion process, they bought another big company and our jobs were on the line. And I remember like being at a place where I was like, oh my God, I hope they fire us. Right. Right. It was what I couldn't bring myself to do. Right. And
right,
I remember
right
I got to a point where it was so emotional for me, that I remember praying to God out loud, like, please God, let them fire me because I can't bring myself to quit. right? Because I was so uncertain of what was going to happen afterwards. But I got to a place where I was so ready to just get my coaching certification and start my business that I was praying that we would lose our jobs. And we did. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. And after, you know, 2 weeks after we got the, and they needed us to stay on for 7 months. So there was like a buffer, you know, it wasn't like they were like, okay, pink slips, you know, pack your stuff and go. They needed us to stay on and they compensated us very well to do that. And 2 weeks after we got the news that we were losing our jobs, I was sitting in the first weekend to get my coaching certification. And that weekend just solidified for me that I had made the right decision. I was going in the right direction. Like I was meant to be a coach. This was just who I was, and I was now fulfilling that. So definitely, you know, got that sight of the future well before I even started formulating what my business was going to look like.
That's awesome. That is outstanding. And that's funny that you said that because you are not the first person I've heard that had gone into psych and kind of began looking at the social work career path and then made a complete beeline for a different direction.
Social work is so wonderful. I have a lot of good friends who go into social work, but you have to be a certain caliber of person to go in and do that type of work. And I just recognized I didn't have it. At least not at that time. I was so young and so naive. I knew it would, you know, chew me up and spit me out.
No, but that's a really important part of being successful too, is really knowing yourself, you know, and it's awesome that you recognize that in yourself and that many people do kind of wake up and have that realization that, you know what, this might not be exactly what I'm looking for. So Jody, once you had, you know, that moment of the imminent layoff that was on its way and you were in your coaching program, and what were the next steps after that? What were some of the first steps that you decided to take once you decided it was time to work for yourself?
Well, in the coaching certification program, we were in contact with a lot of people who, our instructors were a lot of coaches who had their own businesses and they had worked with other coaches. So, you know, just started researching just on the human level, like through anecdotes, like what's working for other people, how are they building their businesses, you know, people who were working in the niches that I was thinking about and somewhat interested in, you know, how did they do it? How were they organizing their businesses? And the feedback that I was getting was that a lot of, you know, they gave some of the ways that coaches were out there networking and marketing themselves. And one of the things I heard of was BNI, which is the acronym for Business Networking International. So before I even, you know, left my job, before the last day, I started visiting a chapter that was near me in a great location, visited a couple of times, really got a good feel for the group. I was excited about what they were doing. And this is a structured networking group where it's like there are members of chapters. So they're dedicated to each other and helping each other grow their businesses, passing referrals, and, you know, making introductions in the community. So I would say that was one of the first things I did that, you know, started to create a ripple for me. I mean, when you think of your network, you know, it all starts somewhere. You know, somebody introduces you to somebody who introduces you to somebody who introduces you to somebody. And that's where I've gotten the majority of my clients, where I've, you know, met people. And, you know, not a lot of people know this, but that's actually where I met John Lee Dumas. We were in the same BNI chapter. In Maine. Yes. You know, so, you know, a lot of people, you know him now and he's so huge, but like, I can honestly say BNI has been incredibly beneficial for me because, you know, here I am today, I have my coaching business and I have a podcast, which is really helping me to grow my visibility, my credibility, and, you know, my clientele. And it all started with BNI.
That's awesome. And it's really important for the audience to hear that, because I talk about networking a lot, but it's important to have the structured networking to make sure that when you go to a networking event, you know, you're not just going to a meetup of some sort to just kind of hang around or bring a friend with you and chit chat. That's not the point of networking. You have to go with an actual dedicated reason for why you're going to that networking appointment. Research who it is that's going to be there, what things you might want to talk to that person about, see what kind of connections you want to build out at different meetups that you may be looking into. And the fact that there are, you know, other networking groups such as the Business Networking International, finding a structured networking group or setting up your own in the structure that you feel most comfortable with is always an excellent idea. So Jody, thank you. What do you feel like some of the key metrics that a newbie should focus on when they begin doing that research, or, you know, when they begin doing their networking?
Doing research and networking, that's so interesting, because when I think of metrics, I think of like product development and that sort of thing. But you know what's really great? I actually wrote a blog post for this for BNI, specifically targeted on coaches, like how to find the right networking group for you. And I talked about, you know, like certain things to look for when you're visiting meetings, like how do the members greet you? Are they warm? Are they welcoming? Are they excited to have you there? Or are they kind of standoffish and kind of just networking amongst themselves? Mm-hmm. You know, because for me, that sends a signal, like, are they going to help me grow my business? You know, and if they're not able to walk up to a stranger and open up a conversation and make people feel welcome, how good are they going to be at talking about my business? Yeah. Right? And how long is it going to take me to build a relationship with them if they're right. clicky?
Yes.
Right? Is there a test I'm going to have to pass before they'll give me their time? Right? You know, those things. How many hoops am I going to have to jump through to prove that I'm, you know, worthy to even have a coffee date? You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, it's very, you know, and this is something we teach BNI members, like it's subtle things that send a strong message. And even though people might not consciously be having this conversation with themselves, subconsciously, these things are like in the background running the programming. You know, how do the members interact with each other during the meeting? Is it a well-structured meeting, or is it kind of all over the place, right? So does it start and end on time? How, you know, that tells me a lot about how organized they are and how committed the members are to making sure that it's a well-run chapter, not just a well-run meeting. Like if the meeting is all over the place, how is the chapter as a whole?
Right.
You know, because it takes there's a lot of behind the scenes work that, you know, that is required to have a well-run chapter, right? Yes. It's just the meeting is what is visible. So if the meeting is, you know, there's another term that just entered in my mind, but it's not PG. You know, if the meeting is like kind of like the Muppet Show, right? Think of the other word.
Right.
Like what is going on behind the scenes, and how, you know, how successful can this chapter be? And then there's usually that, well, in BNI there always is, but like in other networking groups, what you'll normally be looking for is, you know, do they give each other testimonials for the work that they do? Are they passing referrals? You know, how much, one thing I love about BNI is they report closed business. So if somebody refers a client to me and that client hires me, I submit how much money I've made from that referral. So there's metrics. There's definitely metrics in BNI that you can see. You can see the attendance of the members, how many one-to-one meetings they're having with each other, how many referrals they're passing, and how much it's called thank you for closed business is the metrics. How much closed business is the chapter doing? You can do that research and find, and you can ask the members, you know, if you can see that information. It's public.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, be lit, you know, and with my chapter, like I said, I was blissfully ignorant going into it. I luckily found a chapter that was real good. It's just I went more on intuition because I didn't know what to be looking for. I just got a good feeling from the people in the group. I got a good feeling that they were serious about helping each other grow their business, but they also like to have a good time, but it was within the structure of the meeting.
Following your gut is always an important thing to do in business. So definitely, Jody, if possible, I'd love to go ahead and link to that blog post from your show notes page when we're done with the show. That would be outstanding. I know the audience would really gain quite a bit from that. And I myself would love to go ahead and take a quick view at that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
What do you find was one of the more difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur?
I would say, given, how I was becoming an entrepreneur was knowing what to do next. What should I be working on right now? Where should I be putting my time, my money, my energy, my attention? And what should I do next? That for me was like such a gray area. And I think to some extent, we're all going to go through that because there is no, guarantees, but there are structures, there are models out there that can help you. So I felt like for the first year or so, to some extent, I was just, throwing spaghetti at the wall. This work? Will this work? How do I do this? Is this what I should be doing? Is this what I should be saying? So that was a big learning experience for me. But, like I said, ignorance is bliss. So I didn't, I just, it's like the image of running at the wall full force.
I love that. Yes, I think there's a number of entrepreneurs who do that. I myself had done the same, when I first started off the consulting. I just kind of ran with it because I needed to at that point, and that's what I wanted to do at that point. And I ran with it, and it's blossomed into, now the podcast and much the same. And it's just a funny thing where you go in and you're just trying. And I think that is one of the more difficult parts is to figure out where to prioritize in your own business. But that's actually something that I work on big time with a lot of my own clients is how to go about prioritizing your income generating activities and then figuring out how to get rid of the rest of that in some way, shape, or form of delegation. But how do you feel that technology has assisted you in, building out your business and streamlining your procedures?
That is a great question. I would say technology, if anything, has allowed me to amplify the efforts that I'm, putting into my business. When you're building your business, you have to have the human touch, right? There's got to be that aspect. So I just want to underscore, you can't lose that. So even if, you're using social media to grow your business, right? And you're doing a lot online, you still have to make that human connection. Like when people are commenting, on your posts or retweeting your tweets or, they're commenting on your LinkedIn posts, like you gotta connect with them, and let them know you're a person. I've had some people, even the emails they send me, in my mind, I'm like, of course those emails are coming to me, but I'll respond to them and someone will be like, oh my God, like, I didn't think you were going to respond. And I'm like, of course this email was for me. So I read it and I'm responding. So let's have a conversation. And sometimes those, depending on the interaction, sometimes that might even turn into a Skype chat, or if they're local, we might get together for coffee. If there's synergy, in, what we're working on, that sort of thing. It all develops. But, technology allows you to spread the net further. But definitely, just remember that you're human, they're human, and people want to do business with people they connect with on a human level,
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. And that's why it's also important to kind of be yourself. And, and I say, I'm going to just say it the way I'm thinking it right now is, allow some emotional connection with people. Talk about the things that are important to you. Talk about values. You know, if your family is important to you, talk about your family. If like you're really passionate about what you're learning, you know, by, you know, through growing your business, you know, talk about those things too, and you'll draw to people to you who connect to those things, because those are the people who want to do business with you, and those are the people you want to do business with.
Undoubtedly. And, you know, here's a funny story. I'm just going to backtrack for you, Jody, because that's exactly what happened with John Lee Dumas.
So awesome. It is,
because I was, you know, I was already doing the consulting and I was working with clients and I was looking to grow out the business, and I couldn't figure out how it is that I was going to spend more time building out the business versus just being in the business and consulting day in and day out. And I was listening to podcast after podcast in the car, and John was one of the bigger podcasts that I was listening to. And he had just started, but he's every day, so he, you know, there's never a time when I don't have an episode to listen to. So I'm listening to episode after episode of John, and I'm like, you know what, I gotta just reach out to this guy and tell him how much I appreciate what he's doing. So I write a quick email, and I'm like, dude, I hope this actually gets to you and not just the camp, blah, blah, blah. You know, exactly what you're saying, yeah. Jody. And you know what John does? John doesn't send me an email back, no. John, being as awesome as John is, decides to send me a quick voice message to my cell phone. So as I'm strolling through the mall, I get a voicemail from John like, hey, Lori, of course this comes to me. And I'm just like, my mouth drops. I'm in the middle of the mall and I'm just like, yeah, I'm going with the podcast. And that was it. Hands down, that was it. That was the inspiration and the motivation that I needed to get the show going. And it was because of the fact that that connection was there. It was human. It was real. It wasn't, you know, his party or his camp getting back to me to say blah, blah, blah. You know, they might be interested to touch base at some point or thanks so much for you. You know what I mean? It was that real human to a degree that I've never witnessed, you know, and I was extremely appreciative, and it was that motivation that I needed. So, you know, there's your answer as to where John came from. And as you can tell, he's since been on the show as a guest, and I do try to keep in touch with him and Kate, because they are just an awesome team, and they keep rocking it in this space. So, what do you feel like a prospective entrepreneur should really take into consideration before taking the leap?
That's a great question. I think some of the mistakes I know I've made and I see other people make too is they start making big investments early, right? So be mindful of your budget. Be mindful that it's going to take time, mm-hmm. you know, to grow. You know, I talked about earlier, you know, the big black hole for me was like, what should I be doing right now? What should I be investing in? And I, you know, I mean, one of the biggest ones was I started investing in a software like Infusionsoft, like a year or two before I even needed it. Like that's a big chunk of money, like out the window, right? So I would say, you know, start small and allow it to grow. You know, I'm, you know, we were just talking about John. I think John was on AWeber for quite some time before he ever went into Infusionsoft. Like when his business was ready for, I don't think he made that leap until his business was making some good money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, don't feel like your business has to have all the big bells and whistles, right?
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, I do some coaching for coaches who are business developing as well. I'm like, allow your website to be website 1.0, right?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I'm sure you've seen this too, Laura. You, like, you're following some names out there who are really making it in the business, and their websites are amazing. You're like, they're, like, just so, like, they've got everything. Like, they've got all the bells and whistles. Yeah, that's their website 10.0.
Yes.
Right? That's not the website they started with.
Not at all.
And a lot of people, when they're starting their businesses, can go out of business quickly because they've run out of money.
Right.
You know, so just be mindful of that. It's okay to have version 1.0. You know, I love the phrase, you know, be good with good enough.
Yep.
You know, figure out what that is. Allow it to be imperfect. Allow it to be a little unpolished, because nobody's judging it as harshly as you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a matter of just getting it out there and getting started and trying to be as cost effective as you can in that respect. You know, when it comes to websites, excuse me, nowadays, you know, you can get your website up and online for free, literally for free, and just have it there, tweaking it, working on it, playing with it in the background, even before you even bother to publish it to the world. But just getting it started, just putting it out there in some way, shape, or form is more important than anything else. Jody, do you happen to have a tip, a trick, or a favorite application that you use on a regular basis to help keep yourself organized?
To keep myself organized? Now, that's a different question. Something just jumped into my mind, but I'm like, ooh, does that help me keep organized? So I'll give two things. One of my favorite tools out there is Buffer. I use Buffer. I don't have the Buffer for Business. I think it's called Buffer Pro at this point, but it allows me to schedule out my posts. I use it for Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. Now, as we know, with the Facebook algorithm, you really want to be scheduling your posts directly onto Facebook because it's hard enough to get your posts seen. They give you more leverage if you do native posts as opposed to using a third-party scheduler. Right. So I'll use Buffer for Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, so I can, like, schedule my posts out, like, even, like, as far as a week or more if I want to. And then it gives me some metrics to let me know which ones were, you know, liked, tweeted, retweeted, favorited, you know, plus one. Like, and it lets me know the most important metric I look at is which ones got clicks, right? Because, like, likes are like, I heard someone say this before, like, likes on Facebook or favorites or on Twitter are like someone going, meh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Right? That's what that represents. So you have 100 favorites or likes on a post and nobody clicked on the link, you know, or commented or shared, like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just what it was, like 100 people going, yeah. So, you know, but what I like is I can look through Buffer and see which post got the most clicks. And that also lets me know what my audience is interested in. And maybe what headlines and topics that are really resonating for them. To keep myself organized, I use Google Calendar. It's free. It's simple. I time block, and they have a task manager that's integrated on the desktop. And there's Gtasks. If you're doing on mobile, it's just Gtasks, you know. Yeah. So all free. And that lets me know, like, what's coming up, where I need to be, when, and then I schedule tasks for each day because you can have your tasks show up on certain days on the calendar. I know where I need to be putting my attention. And a little hack I use is I prioritize my tasks for the day. So when I'm looking at tomorrow, I'll actually edit each one to put 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Next to them. So when they show up, because the calendar alphabetizes it, but numbers come first. So when I look at the calendar, right at the top is the one I need to be doing first.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is outstanding. I love that little hack. That is very, very cute. And you know what else I love? I love in the Buffer how not only can you see the clicks, but you can also see the potential views. So not only are you getting to see how many people have clicked on it, but you're seeing how many people clicked on it out of the number of people that actually had the chance to see it and how many likes. So the analytics on that are awesome. Those are two outstanding little apps that I will definitely go ahead and link to from the show notes page. But what would you caution as one of the biggest mistakes you feel like first-time entrepreneurs tend to make?
I would say they forget that it takes a village.
Yes.
Your business will grow faster through relationships. Like you and I are doing right now. We both have, you know, podcasts, you know, and, you know, I'm here. You will be on mine.
You're so cute.
Yes. I'm reaching your audience, and you're like, even if it's just this one recording, right? Say it stopped here. you're introducing me to your audience. So I'm going to be able to connect with your audience and I'm going to share this as well. So my audience is going to get introduced to you. You know, that can help to grow your business exponentially. So I would say that, you know, new entrepreneurs forget that they need other people to help them grow their businesses. And the best people to do that are other business owners who are doing similar things. Right. And are maybe reaching similar target audiences. And that can help to grow your client base, your following, your tribe, whatever you want to call it, that much faster. And it can be exponential depending on what you put into it.
Certainly. It's extremely important to ask for help and to get to know those around you. The networking piece is a very big piece that can sometimes get lost because you're so busy kind of focusing on what it is that you need to do next or how to prioritize and so forth that, you know, like we mentioned earlier, when you go to a networking appointment without an actual goal for that networking meeting, it can get lost in transition. So Thank you. The show is designed to really help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for new innovative companies to solve the pain in an industry that they may not have thought of. So, you know, hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. So, Jody, we would like to help you, either in consulting or podcasting. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
I would say, you know, I've been really good at, you know, private coaching and leading some local mastermind groups, facilitating and leading programs. Where I'm looking to grow my business and break out, and if the magic wand could come along and just take care of this, that would be amazing, is to have more of an online presence, right? Looking more like, you know, instead of a workshop series that I do locally, I'd like to do a series of webinars, like have a program that people come and be a part of. And I have a body of work and I have materials and there's definitely a system that I take my clients through, but I have yet to start outlining, you know, what that would look like in a program and start developing that and developing like how I'm going to market that. So if somebody out there had a business, you know, where they could come, because it's very intimate. It's going over your whole body of work. Like I would love to have a person that I could talk through all this with, because I'm an extrovert and I'm an intuitive extrovert. So, you know, I'm all over the place in my head. You know, and so sometimes I just need to talk things through, put it up on a flip chart or a whiteboard, and then it starts to all come together and I can get to work. So that's something that's been lacking in my business.
Awesome. I think that is something that the audience should definitely be able to come up with. At least I would hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of coming up with a business that is actually assisting those in building out their own, you know, online presence plan, not necessarily the presence itself, because there's multiple companies that do that, but really building out the planning behind it, because there is quite a bit of work that goes into doing so. That's an awesome idea. So thank you, Jody. I do appreciate that.
Actually, so, Jody, you know what, Lori? I just had a hit. Like, this is my extroverted. See, we're having a conversation, and now I've got an idea. If somebody out there could create an app for coaches and consultants that, like, was a place where we could record aha moments from our own coaching sessions, because, you know, oftentimes, like, I'll be working with a client, and I'll say something that's so basic to me, and I'll be like, well, you know, everyone's doing their best, you know, and my client will go, oh my God, what? You know, like, that's, I never knew that. As a coach and you know, as a consultant, like, that's gold. When you realize you know something that a lot of other people don't, and that's something you could teach. Like, if I had an app to where I got prompts and reminders to record what were my successes this week, what were the things I learned about my clients this week, that would be awesome.
That is awesome, Jody. That really is awesome, and I'm hoping that there are some developers out there who are getting to work on that for you immediately. So, Jody, tell us, what is the best way for our listeners to find you?
Probably the best way is through my podcast website, which is womentakingthelead.com, or the short link is womentl.com, and there you can get all the social media links are there, so if you wanted to connect with me on your favorite platform, if you wanted to email me or check out the podcast and what I have going on there, that would be great.
Jody, thank you again for joining us today. That was awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it, Lori, and thank you to your audience for hanging out with us. I had fun. I hope they did too.
Don't forget to reach out to Jody Flynn at womentakingthelead.com, or you can always reach her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Jody Flynn. Your network is a resource that you should always, always, always pay attention to and utilize as often as possible. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.